And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. And now joining Dr. Michael Roizen is renowned plastic surgeon, Dr. Arthur Perry.
And Arthur is back after a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks away in Europe, learning about the cosmetic and plastic surgery in Europe. It was a business trip, right, Arthur?
It was a business trip. I learned about a lot of different things, Mike, and both for cosmetic surgery and for my skincare company. And by the way, it was 2 weeks. I know it seemed like three for you.
Well, we miss you so much because you bring so much to the program. So thank you for bringing so much to the program. Now tell us about France's cosmetic surgery. If you've got to wait 15 days for even Botox, why is this? What's the rationale behind it? And what can we do? Is there, if you're wanting plastic surgery over there, do you do anything or you just accept it?
Well, Mike, you know, in the state of New Jersey, you can't buy a refrigerator without a 48-hour return period. That's required. So how is it that we can impulsively go and have medical procedures that are completely unnecessary? And you can do that in the United States. In every state, there's no waiting period here. If you want Botox, there's a place in Manhattan, Mike, that you can walk in, just give them your name, tell them how old you are, and get Botox. That's all that it takes. But in France, they passed a law recently, and it requires a 15-day waiting period for anything, any cosmetic surgical procedure. That includes Botox or an eyelid lift or anything. And boy, it makes a lot of sense. I bet you if they tried to do that here in the United States, there would be a lot of resistance. What do you think?
You know, I think there would be a lot of resistance, meaning I think that we believe we should be able to do anything at any time as long as it doesn't hurt someone else. And sometimes we don't even care if we hurt somebody else. So one of the stories today was on e-cigarettes taking off among the teenagers. That is, teenagers are smoking. And of course, at the same time, there's a lot of smoking of marijuana. And both of them, in fact, pollute the atmosphere. So I think what we have to do is, in fact, if we're going to allow those things to occur, that we have to make sure they occur in either seclusion or that we make sure that we tax them appropriately. So for cigarettes, we'd have to tax them 16 times as much as they're taxed now to pay for the full medical expenses. I assume if we're going to tax, if we ever have marijuana that isn't in, meaning there's no problem if you're using medical marijuana and put it in brownies or cookies or whatever, snuff it or whatever you do. It's when you smoke it that it ends up being four times as bad for the environment and for those people around you. They may feel high, but they get four times the toxins as from smoking one cigarette.
Mike, it's interesting. In Amsterdam, when I went on a train from Amsterdam to the airport, some guy stumbled on the train with a lit marijuana cigarette and sat across from me. So I gathered my wife and my kid and went to a non-smoking car, which took on a new meaning. What do you think? A non-smoking car in Amsterdam means you don't have to sit next to marijuana. How about that?
That's interesting. So you could do what I did during medical school, which is you can inhale without breathing, without lighting up. A reverse Quentin.
Yeah, well, you know, what's interesting about the delay, the 15-day delay for a cosmetic procedure, Mike, in Washington, D.C., I don't know if you heard about the law that was just proposed for tattooing. They want a 24-hour waiting period before
you get
a tattoo.
Because you know who is it who calls tattoo a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling?
Dr. Perry, isn't that what you say?
I don't know who that was.
What?
I don't know who that. Steve Martin, maybe.
Yeah, but anyway, a permanent reminder of a temporary feeling. Anyway, I actually think that's a good thing. What do you think? It'll cut down tattoos, probably. by 50 or 60%.
It's a great thing, you know. And there's great resistance, as you can imagine, from the tattoo community in Washington D.C. This was just proposed. I believe it was yesterday, that it would be the biggest city in the United States to enact legislation like that. It's very important. There's no such thing as emergency cosmetic surgery, Mike, and there's no such thing as an emergency need for a tattoo. So there's no reason why people can't wait for these things.
What do you do? If for Botox, you just call your doctor up 15 days in advance and say, I'm going to come in 15 days?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I don't know if that satisfies the legal requirement in France. I don't know. I think you have to have the consultation and then come back for the Botox. I don't think you can do it over
the phone.
And
it probably isn't covered by the healthcare system there.
No, it's not. And by the way, Mike, I don't know if we have time to talk about it in this segment or the next. The things that are being covered by the National Health Service in England are raising a lot of eyebrows, so to speak, right?
Well, when we come back
in the next segment.
Well, actually, we should talk about that in the next segment. I prefaced it by saying that England is beginning to send some patients to India because cardiac surgery is so much less expensive there. Is that what you're going to talk about?
I am going to talk about that. That as well as the National Health Service being cash-strapped, but providing for some cosmetic surgery. It was headlines the entire week that I was there about a week ago.
Huh. Isn't that interesting?
You want to talk about that now or when we return?
Well, let's talk about how cash-strapped it is. What do you mean by cash-strapped? Are they allocated so much money at the beginning of the year and then they have to live within that?
Well, that's right. And the National Health Service is...
Because I should tell people that I think we're coming to a system of three types of care in the United States. There will be concierge for the 3 to 5% of people who can afford it. There will be some corporations if you're in a specialty, for example, you're a programmer, a computer programmer, and you're being fought over by three different companies. Some companies will have a pure private insurance like some companies do in Great Britain. And then for the vast majority, we'll have a national health system. And my guess is, and it's going to be messy getting there, but my guess is, in the next 5% will be concierge and 20% may be in the insured by a corporation, private insurance, and then 75% will be the Great Britain kind. So we're in a system where we may get very close to that ourselves.
And I do think that's coming. And in Britain, they're all screaming about patients not getting chemotherapy, for instance. Or now what you were talking about was the cost of cardiac surgery, I believe, in London is something like 20 times higher than it is in India. And so there's consideration where they're going to ship patients, put them on a plane or a train, and send them to India to have cardiac surgery and then return afterwards. And the National Health Service is kicking this idea around. People are going bananas in the newspapers in the United Kingdom about this. But that seems to be a solution to England's problems with the health system. We're just getting into it here. God knows what it's going to be like here, because, as you know, this is the refuge for countries like Canada, where the affluent come down to the United States for their care. And if our system changes dramatically, maybe we'll be going to India also.
Wow. That would be crazy.
So the basic message, if you will, is that when we come back from this break, we're going to talk a little bit about the English system and the American system and costs and how you keep healthcare from continuing to erode defense, social programs, and other things. There is a good news on this, so come back. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.